Christ already done for you on the cross. You're acknowledging that. When Kylie, who already dedicated along with Travis, their little one, when Kylie and then Mark McClintock are baptized today, they are telling the world that they are new creations in Christ. And it's still raining out there. That they would even do it in the rain. I mean, you're going to get wet anyway, okay? And if you're worried about it, we may have it on the screen, have the baptism on the screen while we baptize them out there. So we'll see about that. Now, it's interesting that the next section in this book, after the ordinances, is called Ministry at Special Times. And the order of the items in that section are very important to me. I don't think it's an accident. They are in this order: dedication of children, followed by services of marriage, and then ending with funeral services. Weddings are at another place in the book, okay? I've told people that that is the order the way it should be. You're dedicated by your parents to be godly people. And then, speaking of weddings, if you're called into a relationship with a godly person, you're married. And then what follows after that is a funeral. That's God's plan: a godly home, a godly marriage for life, and a funeral after that godly life. This is very, as I was writing this, this was very fresh on my mind. I had had two funerals for very godly people. Some people really make a funeral easy to do because it's a celebration of life and eternal life. Now, our mourning has already begun with one of these practices. We dedicated four children and their parents and ABC to provide a godly home. After this service, we will go outside and baptize two people. So this is a morning of celebration. But celebration doesn't come cheap. It also doesn't just happen. It takes preparation. So in the few minutes that we have left, I'm going to look at several scripture passages that provide a basis and an inspiration, and point all Christ followers to be just like Jesus. First, a godly life requires keeping our promises to God and not taking His grace for granted. In Luke 2, we have recorded that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to present him to the Lord in obedience to the law. Here's that scripture. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord: a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. That's from Luke 2, verses 22 and 24, 2 through 24. We already know that Mary and Joseph, we know from Christmas. We've heard those Christmas scriptures over and over again, and we know that Mary and Joseph had encounters with God where they pledged willingness to participate in God's plan, not just for themselves and for their baby, but for all of humanity. They knew it wasn't just a family thing. It was a human family thing that they were agreeing to. Both Mary, who said, I am your servant, may it be unto me as you've said. And Joseph, being the man that of integrity that he was, did exactly what God told him to do. Now, Mary and Joseph weren't rich. In fact, they were quite poor. And that's why they offered doves or pigeons for their sacrifice. But a sacrifice is just that. It's a sacrifice. They obediently brought their little one for dedication. They kept their promise, and God did too. Karen read from 1 Samuel, where Hannah, whose very name, as we know, means God's favor, means grace, did not take God's favor for granted. She had promised her son would be dedicated to God, and she kept the promise. She brought her long-awaited son, Samuel, to the house of the Lord, as she said she would. Not only that, she testified to the goodness of God in granting her her heart's desire, the joy of a child. She had been previously barren. She couldn't have a child at all, and she was brokenhearted. And it was not lost on her that God had performed a miracle in her life, and she made sure that she honored God for it. And so after not having a child for so long, she brings Samuel and leaves him at the temple at Shiloh. She wanted a child, but she kept her promise. She lent Samuel to the Lord, it says there in that scripture. She lent Samuel to the Lord. The little ones we dedicated to God are on permanent loan to the one who's not going to default on that loan. As we keep up our end of the bargain, God will make good use of our loan. Notice that the final words of Karen's reading word there were, "And he worshiped the Lord there." Samuel became a worshiper of the living God. In fact, he became an amazing prophet, the last judge of Israel before King Saul came along. As we keep our promises at dedication, our little ones are far more likely, it's not because they have free will, it's far more likely that they too will become worshipers of the living God in their own right. Notice what happened next for Jesus as you read further in Luke 2. Luke 2, verses 39 through 52. It says, referring back to the dedication in the temple and referring to Joseph and Mary, "And when they had performed everything according to the law of God, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress.' And he said to them, 'Why were you looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house?' And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. As parents, As parents dedicate their children, those children grow in favor with the Lord and with others. Mary and Joseph took Jesus along to the temple. It says there, every year they did this. And this was no small task. You remember, they weren't rich. And Jerusalem was 70 miles of hard walking from Nazareth. And it's actually, Jerusalem is south of Nazareth, but everybody always refers to Jerusalem as going up to Jerusalem. The Psalms or ascent of ascent are the Psalms that they would sing as they went up Mount Zion to Jerusalem. Jerusalem sat on a mountain, on a small mountain. And so that's why it's talking about going up to Jerusalem and down from down to Nazareth. But they knew, they went every year, they knew that you don't leave the kids at home when you go to church. They need to be there. It's good not to leave them there, okay? They found that out, okay? Did he go home with Papa? That's what happens with us here. But your children need to be here. Your children need to be here. The example is huge here. The opportunities are endless, and the payoff is eternal. Now, mind you, Jesus was no ordinary kid, okay? He was on a mission from the beginning of eternity. And certainly from the time of his earthly conception, he had been on a mission. But he's a 12-year-old here. And he's listening and asking questions, and he's teaching the teachers, a 12-year-old. Not only that, he knew already at this point that he must be in his father's house. And here's the thing. As you bring your kids here, they will more and more know that they must be here. It's a must. Kathy and I have always had a rule in our home. We never crammed church or religion down our family's throat or anybody else's throat. But if you are under our roof on Sunday or whenever there's worship service, okay, but it's always been Sunday for us, you go to church. If you're under our roof, you go to church. No matter who you are or how old you are, you will go to church with us. It did no harm, certainly, and it seems to have done quite a lot of good. So parents, make your kids go to church. Now, mind you, not every time the doors open, okay? You don't have to do that. That's how I was raised. If the door was open on the church, my dad was a pastor. Every time the door was open, we were at church. But there were times in the summertime or whatever, if something was happening, whatever, and we'd say, Daddy, do we have to go to church tonight? And he would act like he was really thinking about it. And he'd say, no, not tonight. So he didn't make us every time. We knew, in fact, that word grace comes in there. It's really important on Sunday morning, gathering together, being in church, or being on Zoom now that we're in COVID, in the age of COVID. Make your kids go to church. And then finally, exposure to the things of God are instrumental in a decision to fulfill all righteousness. And that's a really churchy sounding term, but we'll get into that. Listen, it says here in Matthew 3, when all the people were baptized and when Jesus had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased. That's Luke. And then from Matthew, a similar account in another gospel. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John the Baptist to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Can we do any less than just like Jesus? It's what Jesus did. He knew that he was leading by example when he went into the baptismal waters. So the answer is no, we can do no less than Jesus. Our dedication of these children today is the first step in bringing them to the step of obedience in baptism. And I look forward to the day when I see the excitement of learning about Jesus all over the faces of these little ones that I did at Vacation Bible School last week. One of the things we talked about at VBS was God sightings. And this is where kids were supposed to watch for God at work in their lives and in the lives of others and in the world around them. They were supposed to watch for what God was doing. They might have noticed the beauty of a butterfly or the beauty of a flower. One little girl told me that she had had tubes in her ears the day before. She had surgery on Wednesday, and I believe she was back the next night, Thursday. And she told me, I prayed that God would help me to be brave, and he did. And then this past week, Vacation Bible School was the week leading up to the July 4th. But this past week, at his grandma's graveside, with a nasty storm looming close, Ben Doner looked at me and said, hey, Pastor, if we had a rainbow, that would be a God sighting for sure, wouldn't it? And I bless the Lord for a young man who saw God in a storm at his grandma's graveside. It was way cool. He was holding my umbrella just in case. The result of such learning, as you pass it on to your kids, is a decision. Is a decision to make Christ the Lord of their life. And then baptism is a visible picture of that step. John the Baptist didn't think that Jesus needed baptized. Jesus needed to baptize him. But Jesus had none of it. He led by example, and he obediently stepped into the River Jordan to be baptized. And so it's no wonder that the Father proclaimed, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. And he will say the same for your kids, and he will for Kylie and Mark. As we obediently turn our lives over to the Master, we have affirmed that we too are his beloved sons and daughters. So the goal is, and the message today, is to be just like Jesus. Being a Christ follower is a lifelong adventure that's 24/7. It's on Sundays and between Sundays. It begins with loved ones and a loving church family who dedicate a little one, and then it goes through life to the surrender of salvation, to the obedience of baptism, to the celebration of a life well lived for the kingdom of God, all the way through. That's just like Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and have a word of prayer.